Hi, Stephen. It's Natalie. I just wanted to apologize for that. We're only having a few simple phones today, so I really apologize for that.
No, no trouble. I'm sorry.
I can hear that you're upset at the moment.
Sure. We've got it back on.
It's all right. You take your time, okay? Just ensure that I've got the right person. Can you just confirm your date of birth and first line of your address, please?
Yeah, it's 5 short 3 18 2 7 9.
Lovely, that's perfect. Do you want to tell me what's made you feel upset today?
It's just, how can I know? I've not spoken about this in a long time now that I'm not under any rank with anything. It's,
yeah.
It's a wee bit hard. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it, honestly.
Open Pandora's box, haven't you?
I think my hope.
Yeah. I think when you go through trauma in your life, it can come back and bite you in the bottom if you haven't had the right support. So let's take this call really slowly so I can catch up with what's happened, and we can go through things step by step, and then we can look at what support we can get you organised. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just reading the note that Mike put on, so bear me for 1 second while I have a quick read of that.
No worries.
Okay. Have you got a tissue with you, Stephen? Because it
might
be...
Yeah, that's what I meant to get.
What about a drink? Do you want to go get yourself a drink before we start? Right, if you need to stop, you're in charge of the call, okay? You tell me when you want to rest, or you just want to break for a second, or we can talk about, I don't know, EastEnders. We can do that, okay?
Give me a chance to be talking about golf in EastEnders.
Well, I don't know much about golf, apart from how to do that, you know, when you go to the driving range, that's all I can do. So.
Well, that makes 2 years, but I'm just going to speak about EastEnders, though.
I love EastEnders.
Alter yourself.
You don't like it, I can't believe. That's real life, isn't it?
No, not my thing.
No, fair enough. Everyone's got their own thing, isn't it? So just to make sure, obviously, you're aware that if I get any safeguarding in the call, I can just make a referral to the local authority, but I will discuss that with you about reasons why. And all the calls are recorded, so obviously when you spoke to Mike, that's been recorded. Then I was trying to get the call over to me. That would have all been recorded as well. So it's all there. And are you alright if the call's recorded? Because obviously it was delicate information, but obviously it's for your protection and our making sure our compliance is there as well.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so... Let me go back to probably the beginning. So what age did you go into care?
Well, I can't even remember. I just pumped. I was one of the old, sort of kind of like one of the oldest, but like a year or so. That's what I can kind of, that's what I kind of remember about it.
So did you go to Santa Cruz? And I'm trying to catch up with the notes on here. So I've got on here that you was at St John's Secure Unit. Was you in care before that?
Sheffield. I think that was more down to my mum couldn't cope with his kind of thing.
So how old do you think you were?
I was trying to remember.
Was it a children's home, Sheffield?
Residential.
Yeah, residential.
Basically, it's my mum. My mum was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
and she couldn't cope either. That was the one that sent me most of the thing.
Yeah. Okay, take time. I know it's difficult.
I think it was more for her to get a respite away from the gym, though, sure.
Yeah, but it might have been actually that, you know, there might have been concerns. It might not have been about that at all, but it might have been that your mum was displaying behaviour that was risky.
I've got to my mum through the late night.
Yeah. So, did you ever get a life book when you left or anything?
That is a good one.
No. So when we get a copy of your records, okay, so it will have, it should have the reasons why you were removed each time. So those answers will be there for you. I will stay with you throughout this process. So you've got me going through this with you, okay? And what I'll do is I will go through the birth before I have that conversation with you. And then we can have a conversation in terms of what you want to know. And then obviously I can put that in the most sensitive way to you. Because sometimes care records from back a long time ago weren't as sensitive for PC, I would say.
Right.
So that's something that I can kind of cushion a little bit for you. But it is something that we can do and support you with. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah?
As I was saying there, I forgot his name already.
It's alright, take your time. Mike.
Mike, as I was saying, this is the first time in my life, to be honest with you, that I'm not dependent on anything.
So, are you completely clean at the moment?
Yep.
Amazing. Well done.
30 years I've been under the influence from basically since February.
So
drug dependent.
So drug dependent. So have you got support services for that?
The people that I was to go and see, where I am in Greenock, the people I'm in Greenock, where I am, I've explained it to them, I want to win.
Yeah,
so
that's not great.
I had no idea, but everybody that is there.
Yeah. The problem is mixing with the same people that are still using, isn't it?
Thank you. That's the way I was trying to explain it.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull up some services only for a second, and then you can tell me if they're the ones that you've been offered. Just takes a little while for it to think about things. So I'm going to look for what you've normally found a little bit. So you would have been sent to, is it Inverclyde? Yeah, right. So there's national charities that do support, which are not linked to that. So let me look for your nearest.
Most of the charities through here, what I've noticed is they'll help you if you're a user and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you still need that support to keep you clean. So this is a charity that I used to work for many years ago. I was very young when I worked for them. They've changed name now. They used to be an action, but they're called We Are With You. Have you heard of them?
No.
Okay, so they offer like courses, they do, you know, the rehabilitation part of it as well as the reduction services. They keep you clean and they help you further than that. I'm just going to put in your postcode.
See, the people that we were, I was dealing with is Anchor.
Yeah, I've heard of them, yeah.
They're not as good as they've made it to be. They've created a lot of like group booking and things like that, or
it just says got no matches within your area. So can you do it online on with them? I think you can. Because online is going to be better. Right, they do have TalkTrod online, okay?
Okay.
So what I can do is I'm going to send you the website onto your mobile, and then when we finish the call, you can have a look and see if you can chat to them online and see what services they can offer you in the area where you are. And then it's completely independent then, isn't it, from those people, yeah?
Because that was the biggest thing when I was staying.
Yeah.
I stayed in Port Glasgow, but I don't know if you're under, if you know Port Glasgow, but it's basically, it's like the capital of Cassidy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't helping me, so this is how I've isolated myself.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but I've isolated myself, I had to move away from that area.
Yeah.
Uplifted myself and moved to Europe.
It is the other option that we can do, and I don't know how you feel about it. We can get a referral done to the local authority for a care needs assessment. Now, adult social care is completely different to children's social care. They can do a needs assessment, and obviously if your mental health is being affected by where you're living and the people that you're engaging with, they could help support in terms of moving. They can look at, you know, care support as well, and obviously they'll have more knowledge of the local services of where you are. So there is that option as well if you wanted to give that a try.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and you've got capacity from what I can understand on the telephone at the moment, right? So remember, if you don't want to do something, you just say no thank you, and they can't force you, okay?
No worries.
Alright, so I'll just put it to you, I'll do the referral for you. There is another option that you can do, and I'm not sure if your GP surgeon did it. So these are better, I think, if you're worried about social care involvement. Like social prescribers at GP surgery, they tend to have like the knowledge of everything, and they seem to be better in social care because they're on the ground and they're there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So do you want to try that option first, or do you want to just do both?
I'll be honest with you, I'll give you anything to try.
Yeah. Okay, so I can send an email to the social prescriber at your surgery. And ask them to make contact with you urgently. Does that sound alright?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm not feeling suicidal or anything like that. I hope.
No, it's just amazing. It's amazing.
I've basically grounded myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally get that.
I've found a part of myself that I thought I lost a long time ago.
Yeah. And you're rediscovering you, and it takes time. But
it's so scary.
Yeah, it is so scary. I know. It might be worthwhile if I do a social prescriber referral, if they've got a mental health practitioner, just to support you going through what you're going through, because we don't want you to relapse. As much as like you've done all this good work, we don't want it to go backwards.
That's the biggest thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Because I know in myself, I can just basically walk down, well, no, but I can drive down the road and go and get what I need, what I want.
Yeah, and and that takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength, doesn't it?
Yeah,
not everyone can do that.
It falls to the head, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Can I tell you another number? If you get that feeling and that thought and you think, oh my God, what do I do now? Who do I go? If you dial 111, right, and if you don't dial in, you know, for an appointment out of hours, you press option 2, that should take you through to a mental health practitioner, and they can support you in that moment, in that time. as well. Yeah. Alright, you've always got that, that's 24/7. Okay, and that will work wherever you are in the country now. Alright? So what I'll do as well after this, well, actually I've done one text to you already, which is on your WhatsApp. I'll send you through some mental health support, and then I've got some apps as well that might be useful in terms of supporting yourself. But I'll put all of this information that I'm giving on the text so you know what we spoke about. So it isn't just obviously your Scottish reader that would be in the way as well. I'm doing a couple of travels while you're traveling. Is that alright?
Yeah.
So if I go back to the call for the Scottish redress bit, you went to Seafield Residential and you can't remember how old you were, can you, when you do you remember what local authority it would have been under? Sorry, say that again, the phone was funny then. Do you know where you lived?
Oh, when we were there, I stayed in Govan.
Govan?
Mm-hmm.
How do you spell that?
G-O-V-E-N.
Yeah, Govan. Okay. Well, I can look that up anyway and see what we can find with that. Okay. Did you have any other names or nicknames that would have used at all?
No, it's always been Stephen.
And what about the surname?
I did used to get called Kennedy. That's just where my surname went away then.
Okay. And your spelling for Stephen, I've got S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Did they ever put V?
No. I don't know.
So
my doctor actually had me down spelt with Stephen Kearns with a C.
Let's put that down as well. Okay. Did they put C-E-A-R-I-N-S?
No, they basically spelt it before the K and the I.
Oh, that's not even new, is it?
No, it's nowhere near my second name. It's just people think, well, Cairns, it's got to be spelled this way, but it's not.
Okay, right, I'm going to put down that, and then I'm going to put down Stephen the other way, just in case, as well. Because you've had a couple of different spellings, and obviously, if it's gone under a different spelling, we want to make sure we're getting that information as well.
Okay.
Okay, so, you've remembered Seafield, we've got St John's Secure Unit. Is there any other settings that you think you went?
No, the only other places is in prison.
Up to what age did you do that?
Oh God, I've not been in prison there for about 10 years.
So did you go, so that was 99, so...
Basically since I was... Prior to St John's I was going in and out to Young Offenders.
Right, do you remember what they were called? Was it Tolman?
I've run Tolman and I've run Longer Again. I was one of the last few that went through Longer Again as a young offender.
Yeah. Okay, so you know when you did your statement?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I've only got one setting on here. Have you only spoke about one setting, or did you speak about all...
The first time I spoke to James, it was basically just John's.
And that's the one that did the abuse, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
Well, if you could count Longer Again as well.
Right, so what I need to do then is, if you're not ready to do this today, obviously, we can schedule another call to go through this part. I'll need to break down each one about what happened in what. If anything sort of happened like sexual, we would need to break that down into the elements of that as well, because it will help towards the claim, and I know it's really difficult to go through. But we won't do that until you're ready. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So when you were saying that these, I've got 4 seconds now, did you ever attend any school?
No.
And who's your registered GP at the moment?
I'm still in Port Glasgow, so that is Arthur Medical Practice.
Is that anywhere near you?
No.
Okay,
I've just not got my, but now that I've basically got myself a little bit more settled, that's, but as I said to James, I had no letter sent to this address.
Yeah. And that's
I had to genuinely remove myself from where I was to get to here.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what you've got to do to start a thing, like give yourself that fresh start, haven't you?
But I had to, because I'd already decided to commit suicide on October.
Right, and have you been on services for that?
Yeah, that's, they were more interested in my drug problems than my actual recovery, trying to get myself back on my feet.
Yeah. So, I know how it works, like, with mental health services. Unfortunately, when you're using drugs and alcohol, you can't assess without you being clean for, like, 6 months.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it can affect, obviously, in terms of your presentation. So that's probably why they focused on the drugs part of it. Did they not explain that?
They never explained it clearly enough to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was basically, if you're smoking cannabis and taking Valium, you have to go speak to this person.
Yeah, that's not a very good explanation, is it?
And that's the same, even what the person is. God, what do you call them?
Mental health practitioner.
The mental health team, they'd be helping me, but he only helped me for like 14 days. And then pass them on to somebody else. I'll be honest with you, I've done nothing. I've had two phone calls off them in the past X amount of months.
Okay, so, first thing I'm going to say, right, your medical practice is too far from where you are now for me to do the referral. So, what I need to do is a priority tomorrow. Can you go and register with a local GP near you? Do you know where one is?
Believe it or not, it's actually across the road from me.
Really?
Yeah. I can literally look at my sitting room window and I can see the health centre from here.
You might be able to do it online. You might not even have to leave your house. If you can see the name of it, if you register on that tonight and then ring me back or send me a text message tomorrow when you've updated it, then tomorrow I can send over the referrals to them. And say, make contact with us, and these are our concerns. Is there any possibility that, you know, you can see Stephen as a priority and see what they say?
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. Have you ever had any diagnosis for your mental health?
No. The only thing, the basic is, the doctor that I'm working with now is Townhouse, that's who it was I was with.
Townhouse. Brown House.
Brown, as in put the crown on the Queen's head.
Oh. Do you know every time you were saying it, it was cutting out? So I got the end going, and. Townhouse. It's not your fault, you don't need to say sorry for that, that's the phone line. So sometimes it just cuts in and out, so. If you don't hear me properly, just let me know. Alright? The Crown House. Was that the mental health team?
Yeah.
GMHC, isn't it? Did they give you a care coordinator? All that?
They actually coordinated me to an intruder.
What? They put that on the record?
The guy's name that I had spoken to after the left Crown House was a chap called Dean.
Yeah.
This is the main rough thing is Dean was in about the people that I was in about when I was using at the time. And I felt weird speaking to him.
So that again, then my brain got crazy as it just said. Did you just tell me that he was hanging around with the people you were hanging around with?
Yes. He's not a rocker. He's not a big rocker. But he used to be around about the same people that I was around about. But he's around the people.
And what did he say about that?
He basically said he didn't. It wasn't there. But then I see something, I had said a certain thing to him, and he says, he looked at me as if, I know exactly what you're saying.
Right. So, I will, that's an NHS, isn't it, service that's being worked at?
Thanks, so.
So, I will find an NHS advocate for you as well, because that's a conflict of interest. That he shouldn't have been working with you if you knew him.
That's the biggest reason why I didn't want to start here on, because there's people there that can work.
Yeah. So I'll get you the NHS advocate, right? But what you're going to have to do is raise a formal complaint.
No, I'm not going to be doing that. The way I found it better for you is just not to be going about that person.
Yeah. I'm just thinking in terms of them to learn lessons as well. So you're not going to go back to that one, because where you are now, you're in a completely different area. So it's not like you're
in a different area, and I'm in a different life zone.
Yeah, so to raise a concern now isn't going to impact where you are, if that's what you wanted to do. So I can look up NHS advocate for you. They can support you with that process and make sure it's done and followed up, because if you knew that person, that should have been raised as a conflict of interest, and that should have been swapped over. You should have been with somebody that you know, if that makes sense.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I never really seen it, and seeing that sound, I never seen it like that. I just seen it like,
yeah,
I remember when we were 10 years ago, we used to sit and have a foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't write down that. I can't write down that you had a tube. I can write down that you had a short of cannabis, if that's okay.
We had a mixture of drugs.
Yeah.
That makes it easier.
Yeah, I'll write that down. Did you suppose yes?
Yes.
I'm going to say smoke candles. That's internal terminology, isn't it? We're not making anything up, so that's fine. So, I know you mentioned about you've made an attempt to end the life, but self-harm, have you done like any cutting or burning or pulling its skin, pulling its hair out?
I did attempt it. It was a feeble attempt, but I did try to cut my wrist.
Okay, and when did you try to do that?
Well, years ago, when I was in Young Avengers.
Which one?
Bowman.
And that was to end your life, was it?
Yeah.
And then after that, did you do anything else other than the one in October last year?
No. Since October last year, I basically closed everything in my life. Everything.
Yeah.
I uplifted myself.
Yeah.
Moved away. Yeah. I managed to ground myself since I've been here.
Yeah, and you've done amazing. You know, if you think about all the courage that's taken, it's not easy. You've done amazing. You really have. And I know it's difficult to talk about. When you made that attempt in October, how did you try to end your life?
I'll tell you the way it started.
Yeah.
My ex-partner's known me for X amount of years. I did well enough. I was with her at the start. In fact, 20 odd years ago, I was with her.
Yeah.
I was using drugs. At that time, I had to change my life.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking straight, so the way I seen it was I had to leave her to get myself sorted.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen that way, it's any good if we were planning it. So, things are very close to there.
Yeah.
I picked myself up. And then, my young brother, he passed away in prison. I had come back to taking drugs again, and then I lost everything again. But then, I met my ex-partner.
Yeah.
She was still living. In the times of 10 years back, she was still living in that era where I was the same person that she met again.
Yeah.
But she knew personal things that nobody else knew.
Yeah.
And she just kept bringing things up. And it got to the point where I couldn't deal with her putting me down and bringing things up.
She was manipulating you then?
The 5 years I was there, I got myself into 10 grand worth of debt.
Yeah.
And I got to the point where I couldn't get anywhere. I just woke up one day and started taking the code out and speak about them.
Yeah.
And then it was for a week solid I was saying this stuff. And then I phoned my friend. I explained to him that it's going to be the last phone call. And I appreciated everything he's done to me in my past. And things like that.
Yeah.
So I genuinely I must have put about 100 street values.
And Cocodamol, was it?
And Cocodamol.
Right.
But he managed. I don't even remember the phone call finishing. I just remember saying to him that I appreciate everything. And then I kind of said, oh, I appreciate stress of it, to explain it. But the next thing I regret, all I can remember is my pal these fingers in my throat.
So he made it be sick?
He managed to make it to Glasgow, to Port Glasgow, before the ambulance got to Greenock to Port Glasgow.
And it's not over.
Yes. The sheer manipulation is so much, I just wanted everything to end, everything. But then, he was doing it through Christmas, he got me through Christmas.
Yeah.
January, I made a promise to him that I'm going to get everything up, I'm going to stop everything.
Yeah.
The doctor started prescribing me Valium. And the tragedy.
Yeah.
I put them through January. So it had to be prescribed to me 2 milligrams 2 times a day. And then my tragedy, I was just taking next time.
Yeah. What did you put you on? 15 milligram or?
I don't take anything anymore apart from my tragedy.
Same as carbapenem, are you on like 45 mil?
Yeah. No, I've actually got myself 20, 15 mil on my tragedy.
So that's literally, since you started, you know, probably doing hardly anything, which is why you're feeling the way you are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it might be worthwhile going back to GP, getting that reviewed, because this process is going to be emotive. It is going to be like a roller coaster, alright?
Oh, no, I thought I came off what this was.
I wouldn't put your hands up and scream or anything, alright? But, you know, I would definitely go back to your GP and say, like, 15 milligrams, it doesn't touch the side. You know, it's not going to manage and keep that stabilisation of your mental health. I would say
that... Oh, that worked. What's that thing when somebody gave you something? It's not really a drug, but they tell you that it's a drug.
Placebo.
That's what I've wanted in my own head.
Yes, but can you hear how you're feeling at the moment?
That's been a long time.
And the problem you've got is that because of this process, it's going to probably bring up things again. And it isn't an easy process. It might be that you might need to have more regular checks with GP. You know, you might say, stay on 15 milligrams at the moment, see how you feel in a couple of weeks' time, see if it settles back down. If it doesn't, then you're going to have to bring it up again.
See, that's how I stopped it. Look, I still get my vials prescribed, but I don't touch them.
How did you do that then? Because you don't need them.
I did tell them that they said it's a better idea for me to stick on them, but I don't want to take them. I've not been taking them.
Okay, so that's a personal choice, okay? You've got capacity to make that decision. They might have said that, because you know when you stop something cold turkey, like you have to wean yourself off.
Yeah.
But if you stopped it already, you've already gone through that process.
Yeah.
So I would tell them that, and so they can document it on your record. Yeah?
Yeah.
So I'm just making notes for... Okay, so in terms of hospitalisation via mental health, have you ever been in a hospital for that?
No. That was just off with a face doctor. Everything was practically fine.
Did they put you in hospital? Like, not physical health, but mental health?
Yeah. I mean, they tried to test me under the mental health act, but I ran away.
So, you were under Section 2 then to have done that, weren't you?
Yes. And then my auntie kind of had to the same thing. No, the first time my auntie sectioned me, and then the second time, because the police had sent me to the hospital sectioned me that time.
So was this all in October?
Yeah.
So you've got Section 5?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got Section 2 in that house, in that health hospital, that's
But because my auntie says it's the best thing for me was to go and face up to it.
Sometimes being an inpatient is better because you can do the titration of the medication and be monitored. And
it just reminds me so much of being in the children's home.
Yeah, that's the difficulty that you've got because it is quite institutionalised and clinical.
Before somebody else closing and locking my door.
Yeah.
That just got on so much.
Did they take you on 136, do you remember? So the police took you. When they do it like that, did they say it's the 136, so taking you to a place of safety?
I can't remember, but I remember my auntie couldn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Basically, my auntie can't bring me back out or anything like that. I had to be there.
So you was a Section 3 then? Okay. Right. And that was October as well?
Yeah.
So potentially, you will have needs that haven't been met if you've not stayed in hospital. Okay. So when I give you, when I come off the phone today, if you ring 111, option 2, tell them everything that you're going through with, like, all the claims, what emotions it invokes. Tell them about the fact that you've been clean for this amount of time now. You were under section in October. What they can do, I don't know if you've ever been under it before, then they can give you, like, the crisis team to support you in the community. Just while they're trying to sort out medication, they are better for medication than GP. And they come out every day and just go, how are you doing today? Are you feeling alright? It does get annoying, I'm not going to lie, in the end, but then you know you're feeling better. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I would definitely give them a call. It's better to have it in the community than going back into the hospital. So, and it would probably help you more doing it that way. Have you ever had any counselling or therapy at all?
No, that's what I was saying. I forgot his name again.
It's alright, it's Mike.
Mike, that's what I was saying to Mike. The group that I was to go to, it was all right through them.
Oh yeah, because he did tell it to me as well, actually, sorry. The group works, but
with the same. I needed to speak about my problems. No, I wasn't about to speak about the drugs that I used to take.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah. I can get you...
I didn't speak to you about all the drugs under the world that I used to say.
I think,
but
yeah.
But it doesn't resolve the part that I used to speak about.
Yeah. The reason why you were doing it. I can give you a number now, if you bear me for a second. I'll look for your local services for you.
It's easy to admit that I used to take heroin, and what it is to what I've been for. And the only person that really truly knew what I had been through was my ex-partner who drove me to the point. I seen I've had enough.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been a victim of domestic abuse with that, from what you're saying. She sounds like she's been quite manipulative.
Evil asses, don't you mean? Just the past, the last part in his 5 years that I was there.
Yeah.
You know, if you knew me personally, everybody would tell you the same thing about me. I would give you the last breath.
Yeah.
To my ear to help you.
And that's because of what you've been. Yeah, it's because what you've been through.
Yeah.
But what you need to do now is get some personal boundaries to protect your health. Okay. So I've just had a look on here. You can't directly refer in Scotland. Obviously, I'm in England. You can refer directly to talking therapy. So you would have to go to GP first and ask for a referral to talking therapy. So I'll put that on the text message as well. So you've got a list of things that you can do and where to go for it. Okay?
Okay.
Do you have any physical health at the moment?
Sorry?
Do you have any physical health at the moment?
Physical health?
Yeah, so that's cancer, heart disease, back problem.
Suffers the attica. And arthritis in my heart.
That's fun, isn't it? I've got that as well.
No, that. Just like that, I'm in just now going to have a shower at the bar.
So you need occupational therapists as well, assessment, brain assessment. I think that's
lovely. I'm in the bath, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I will mention that when I refer you to adult social care, because they can get that organised. Where about I'll just scroll all the way to the top. Did you ever attend hospital as a child when you were doing any of the care settings?
Sorry?
So you know when you were doing the care setting, but Seafield. When you were in Seafield, Coleman. Longwick and St. John's. Did you ever go to the hospital for anything?
No. Out of all them, you get a paracetamol or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can handle it. Okay, so, obviously you was in the sitting units and obviously in prison. So, I have to write down like what arrests and convictions you've got. So, can you remember what the earliest one was?
After all my charges were basically and then revolved around Catholic. Basically.
Yeah. Okay, so what age did that start?
You might be a bit truth over here.
Well, it can go towards trend, which is the reason
I started stealing cows when I was 10 years old.
Okay, so 10 years old.
Yeah. So nearly what? Another 37, not about 20 years or something.
So when did you stop that?
My last sentence.
When was that?
Oh, God. a good 10, maybe even longer, 10 years or so.
I'll just put various convictions and arrests, is that alright?
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of evidences in terms of, you know, like the local authority would have been your parent in local authority.
Yeah.
The reason we ask that is about what direction have you been supported in? Like, did they say it's not very good, you know, to steal cars? What education services did they put in place to support you after the first arrest? Do you know what I mean? You were at 10, and at 10, who was helping you? Because normally, exactly. So that is negligence of the local authority, which is why we ask for those details. It's not that there's anything judgmental about it, it's literally about, okay, what happened to you as a child, and who was responsible for that, and who's going to take that accountability. And that's what we're fighting for you, okay? So, did you have any issues with alcohol?
My issues with alcohol was that my mum was an alcoholic.
Did you drink,
sorry?
Did you start at an early age, or...?
I used to drink, but after I left St John's, I kind of started drinking after then.
So what age was that then?
I genuinely couldn't even remember. Early 20s.
You're 79. I'm 82, but you are...
I'm 47 just now, so...
So you're 3 years. I left school in 99, so I'd have been 16. You'd have been 90.
Yeah, don't know about that, because the 90s were the worst times of my life.
So, if I hit that age 19 and you started drinking, did you drink heavily, or was it...
Yes.
And when
I used to think of that.
Okay, so you need a health check as well when I do the referral to check your kidney function and stuff. If you were doing that from 19, up to what age?
Okay. I think it's worth it. Alcohol wasn't really my go-to thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you went to the drugs instead.
I think there's been more drawn to the drug side there, because the alcohol kind of... The alcohol opened doors in my mind where I didn't want them to be opened.
Yeah.
And that's when I would go to steal the car, change my mind. The thought of being in a stolen car and getting chased in the police was the biggest rush I could get. That took everything away from me.
Was that a good feeling or a bad feeling?
This is going to be really healthy for me, but it was one of the better feelings that I've ever had.
So, were you chasing, like, a dopamine feeling? Like, do you know what I mean by that? Like, happy thoughts. Like, it makes you feel happy. It's got your adrenaline going.
The first day I used heroin.
Yeah.
It was like that. When I started using heroin, I started chasing that same buzz.
Yeah.
But when I stole a car, I always go to that satisfaction. I always go to that. I don't know how to express it, but my whole body would tingle and I would shake when sleeping.
Yeah.
It is so strange, actually speaking up with it, but it was the best rush that I could ever find.
You sound like you've been self-driving and you go to me chasing a lot.
I've never opened up to anybody until October.
And you find it okay to speak to me at the moment about it?
I'm thinking back to you, but
if you want to cry, you can cry, honestly. You just take a break, you tell me.
Well, I feel like I've done enough for that during October, November, and that
you know what?
That's the biggest reason why I just don't take the value.
So, I know you said you feel like you've done enough, right? If your body's telling you that you want to do it, that's you're holding it back. And if you hold back your emotion, it stays in until you let it out. And sometimes it can come out in the wrong way. So like, you're kind of trying to stay clean, and then all of a sudden something will hit you. It'll be something behind it, and you'll go, that's it, I had it, I'm going to walk. You've got to make sure you keep your emotions. Don't lock them in. Let you feel what you want to feel. Right?
We can see that. I do still have money. Download.
Yeah.
Which you said, our customers, I do have my downloads. But the thing that's kept me going, what strongly kept me going, is being my dog.
Yeah. And it's important to have that protective factor, isn't it? So, like, I've got two dogs, they're my protective factor. They keep me going, they've got me through, you know, trauma. And it's important to have that network around you. You can't just stay in with the dogs all the time, although it sounds lovely. You know what I mean? You've got to get that network around you now, get that positive network around you, not just the ones that you went to. So, like, for instance, you know you said, oh, you go to the group and they're talking about drugs and whatever.
Right.
Why didn't you just go to the man club? Nobody knows that you've been using drugs in the shaman. You're just talking about feelings and emotions. That's all you need to say. That's it. Talk about
that's,
how you feel.
That's the biggest part. I genuinely need to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's the emotional part that I keep hating.
Yeah. And it's those things, like Andy's Man Club, right?
Yeah.
That's about your emotions. That isn't about, you know, drug use or whatever. That's about you as a man. No women are allowed there. You've also got, like, many other things as well. So I can send you some information about them. Just drop in. If you don't like them, there's a million different places like that you can go to and try, all right? Find one that works for you, because everybody's completely different. But Andy's Man Club runs throughout, you know, the whole of the UK. And they seem to be, because I'm not allowed in as a girl. I did try, I'm not going to lie, but they told me no. So I don't know what they did in the group, but they seem to be really working for men. So I would recommend them as a good place to go as well, like just to have a little chat. People go through the same sort of thing as yourself, but, you know, you don't have to actually talk about it directly.
I think that's how I find my dogs, my security, because I can, even though they don't understand what I'm saying, I get to speak to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When I feel down, like my wee staffy.
Yeah.
I talk to her and she gives me a wee back to me.
I've got a dog who does that as well. Like, wow.
Because that she understands where I'm coming from, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And do you know what? The thing with dogs is that it's unconditional love. They will love you, you know, till the day they die, you know.
Because she literally stuck between my two legs, you know.
Yeah, that's lovely. What's her name?
Bella.
Bella?
Yes.
Oh, cute name. That is cute, that. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the drugs. What age did you start using your drugs?
15.
And what did you start with? Cannabis?
Nope.
Oh, okay. That's normally everyone's starter.
No, I didn't start smoking cannabis until I was 16. The first thing I ever tried, drugs-wise, was acid.
That was the first thing. That?
I don't know. Everybody was doing it at the time, so I thought, oh, well, let's jump on that bus.
Yeah. It's peer pressure, isn't it, to go along with what everyone else is doing.
But my heroin habit started basically when I was 18.
So you went after cannabis, did you do any
jellies?
Everyone says jellies. What's jellies in Scotland?
How did I explain it? I can't think of the real name from there.
Is it MDMA?
No. This is like, it's real ass. At the time when I started taking them, the doctors were giving people to kind of wean them off the drink.
Oh, right, okay, so...
See how you get the cod liver oil tablets?
Yeah.
When I used to take them, that's what they were. It was MP20.
I'm going to put alcohol, drug, substitute, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what the name of it was, Sally.
I think they come under what, benzene?
Yeah, benzene. Yeah.
Because Valium are a different one, and the Valium is more benzene, they come under something else.
Yeah. Diazepam as well.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So, what age did you use Ellie's?
That was basically, when I started taking acid, that was my go through to come off the acid.
Okay, yeah,
but I didn't realise that I was enjoying the buzz to take the jellies more than the acid part.
Right. So that age 15, you went acid, jelly, and 16, you went to Canada.
Yeah.
Then where did you go after that?
Cannabis right up until I was about 18.
Yep.
And then the first person that ever introduced me to heroin was my young brother's dad.
Your younger brother's dad?
Yeah.
How old is he at the time?
Oh, I don't know. I think he was in his late 20s.
Wow.
And
how old are you?
17, yeah, I think it was my 18th birthday.
On your 18th,
yeah. Just after my 18th birthday, I'm sure. It was some time then about that time.
And did he inject you?
No, that was a smoking time.
Oh, you smoked it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I only really got into the injection part when I met my partner.
Okay. They call it chasing the dragon, don't they?
Yeah. Stupid thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, I'm not agreeing, but I mean, I know what you mean. So you started smoking heroin and progressed to injection after, yeah?
Mm-hmm. My injection, I started doing that when I was about 31. That was no more, that's what I'm saying, that was like no long after St. John's in that.
So, when did you stop injecting and everything?
Oh, the heroin that I stopped 10 years ago. No, wait a minute. Yeah,
okay.
Wait, yeah. 2010.
Can you remember when,
or how long
you were
when you
went there? 16 years, so you've been
30. Roughly about
30,
because...
It's a long time, isn't it?
It was a long time, but I'd never, when I went to the doctor to ask for help to put me on methadone.
Yeah.
I tried it once and I was like, no for me.
Did you not try the other one? Have you
tested? No, that was me about it. 10 subutex was me a thing at the time.
Later one, isn't it?
Everybody was, it was
did you do a cold turkey then?
Yeah, everything I've done through my life, I've never asked for help.
Wow.
I've never opened up to anybody, I've never asked for help, because when I did try, that's what I was explaining to Mike, when I did try to ask for help, I seen myself as about a paper, basically, I was just I wasn't treated as a person, I was basically treated as...
You feel like you're a burden?
Yeah, about that.
I never remember the name that word.
Like an inconvenience?
No, instead of being known as a name and number, I was basically... My head went blank because I can't think now.
It's alright. Take time.
Oh, I can't even remember the word for it now. Basically, when I spoke to people, they didn't speak to me as a person. They spoke to me for a booklet. Does that make sense? It was like they never had any experience in things that I was trying to speak to people.
Yeah.
But now...
Dismissing what you're saying.
Basically, it's... But now when you speak to people... I've actually noticed that these people that do bring similar lifestyle to myself.
Yeah.
And they don't think, you know, they don't even associate with areas and they don't want to be open about it.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
How can I say, there's people there that just pay to help people.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that treat you like a piece of paper, basically. They just treat you like another sheet of paper. But then,
yeah,
there's people that's been through it, experienced it, and they're starting to speak to you like a person.
Yeah. They've got lived experience, so they get it.
Yeah, it's... When West, I don't know if you ever heard of West Street.
Mm.
It used to be a rehab in Glasgow. It's now Turning Point.
Oh, right, yeah.
Even with them, when I went to them for help, their answer was methadone.
Yeah, that's the problem because they can't do anything until you're on a program and you have to evidence. This is the thing with the system. You have to evidence that you're clean. You see what I mean? And they're engaging in the process. And the thing is, it is one size fits all. And that's the difficulty you've got with all of the programs at the moment in mental health, everything. So you're clean now. You haven't used anything for a long time, have you?
No.
So,
I don't even, the only thing I do is smoke a vape now. That's it.
Yeah. So, is it 10 years you've been clean? 10 years you've been clean on it?
Of hard drugs, yeah.
What do you use now? Do you use anything else?
No, the only thing I take is like I said, you know, from the capacity.
Yeah.
But their amusement is
that's been mental health. That's not a drug. That's medication. Yeah.
That.
So don't be, you know, lots of people take medication, you know, for their heart. It's exactly the same for your mental health. You know, you wouldn't stop taking a heart tablet just because you felt a bit better, because you know that you've got a heart problem. See what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same. Back in the day, it used to be stigma, but it's not the same as what it used to be. So if you need that medication to keep your mental health stable, take it.
I'm just scared.
Wait, you're a child, okay? And when we're children, we make mistakes. We look to the adults around us for help and support. You just have that, you know? So none of this and the consequences of these decisions. Okay, yes, you made a choice, but you weren't guided. You weren't given that support that, you know, a child maybe now in care would get. So don't blame yourself. That's why we're doing this. We're doing this to support you and get you some apologies and get you some recognition for everything that you've been through. All right?
It's just I'm up genuinely. I'm really still thinking every day, but you know what I'm thinking? No.
And I know
when I open the volume, but my door open for everything.
Yeah. I want you to ring 111 after this call. So let's finish this last bit that we've got to do, okay? And then you can ring 111 option 2 and I want you to tell them everything. Because that's the first point of call. And then tomorrow once you register to GP, send me a text. And then I'll get them to where we'll send over an episode. Yeah?
Probably.
Okay. So what age did you leave care?
I was one of the oldest since you've been.
And with our team, do you prefer a male or a female advisor?
Just somebody that will listen to me.
Let's keep you with me. Right, so you can stay with me. I'll keep you under my name. So if you get any questions, the number that I rang you on, store that in your phone, and then you can ring me direct. If I don't answer the phone, I don't know if you heard that ringing. It just rings in my ear, even if I'm on the phone. So it's not that I'm ignoring the call, it's that I can't answer it usually most of the time on the phone, all right? Do you provide this consent to get copies of the records from all the professionals that you've mentioned?
Yes.
Okay.
I tried to get my social up.
Yeah, but we can do that for you. And then what we can do is the next question is, do you want to see a copy of them?
I would like to.
Yeah.
See, I don't understand. I was passed to one social worker to another social worker then.
That's probably because of turnover of social workers. Even nowadays, social workers do not stay. And they leave very quickly. There was no consistency with social workers, even in social care now. That is an ongoing issue with social care. So that's something that, well, they try to look at, but I know that it won't change. Because the system itself needs to change. So the whole process with us, okay, is going to take around 10 months. Don't hold us to the 10 months because we've got some delays in terms of the subject actual access request that we're trying to get hold of from the big club, obviously. But we will do our best to get through as quickly as we can, all right? Obviously, I said I'm going to be made public contact, okay? When we start your subject access request, we get all of those back in, and then I will come back to you and clarify that information. That's where I will buffer the information for you get to see it, to clarify what's on there, and then we put that information towards your case for the Scottish Youth Rights Panel, okay? Obviously, that's after that conversation is when you will get a copy. When I say buffer, sometimes that's just because of how they phrase it. So it may be that it's not phrased exactly the way that I help you go through the records, okay? So the panel, you don't need to go through a panel. It's a closed door one, all right? So you don't attend, but you do get told as a date. Okay, so I know you probably would have been told all these options in terms of Scottish Youth Rights, but because of our compliance, I've got to go back through them again. So you've got to do yourself independently and get your own evidence, okay? You can access a different solicitor from England or Scotland who have accepted £2,000 to act on your behalf in Scottish Youth Rights. They don't charge you a direct fee, okay, but they are receiving £2,000 from the Scottish Government, and they get that fee whether you win or lose, okay? And then there's ourselves, who is MMA Legal, and we act on your behalf. We've offered out of that fee from the Scottish Regulator, not from the Government, and we take 20% of the tax fee, and that's only if you win. If you lose, there's no charge, okay? So it means we are completely independent, and we're acting for you. We're not. You know, we've got nothing else, it's all transparent. You're also entitled to a 14-day calling-off period. Are you happy to wait 14 days, or would you like to receive immediately?
No, whatever's the easiest option.
Well, it's not about the easiest option, it's about what you want to do. So, you can have 14 days to think about it, and if you want to do that, that's no problem. I'd give you enough more than 14 days. Or you can go ahead straight away. It's up to you.
Yeah, just go for it. Go for it.
Are you happy to stay with MMA?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is wrap up the call today. I will give you another call tomorrow afternoon. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah, my watch has just told me my stress levels are high.
I wonder why, because it's been a very difficult call for you. Best thing for you to do is have a walk with the dogs, okay, get yourself a drink and chill out now, okay? What I'll do is I'll give you a call back tomorrow afternoon, I'll send you the text in the morning of the support services, because we've finished a fire today, but what I'll do is I'll send that to you in the morning, afternoon I'll give you a call back and we can run through the additional details about those other settings. So you add that into your personal statement as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be a motive. So what I want you to do is make sure that you've run 111 option 2 tonight, access that support, so you can get something in place straight away. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right then. Okay, Stephen. So that's everything for today. I want to thank you so much for your time. So your next job today, get yourself a drink and take the dogs for a little walk and then do 111 option 2 call. Is that alright? It's alright, it's not a problem, that's what we're here for, okay? And then tomorrow, obviously, we can have another chat and go through the extra bits then, alright? Just please look after yourself, alright?
I made that promise to myself.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow, alright?
You take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.